Shalom. Oy. It's a long walk from Jerusalem. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Blessed are you, our Lord, King of the universe. This is my second chance, Lord. My second chance to tell the truth about you and about myself. Please be with me as I share the story. I want so much for everyone here to know what really happened. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, bet you didn't know bongos could be good for that. Huh? I think I'll just move over this way. This is the story of a man named Jonah. A very silly man who thought he could run away from God and found out that he couldn't. It's a story that happened a long time ago in the land of Israel when God called Jonah to preach to the big bad Ninevites. And Jonah, that's me, I ran out on God and I ran out on myself. Let me tell you a story. This couple takes their 12-year-old boy to Sabbath school, and they drop him off. Later, when Sabbath school is over, they come to pick him up. When they come to get him, he comes out, and the father says, "So what was Sabbath school about today?" And the kid says, "Oh, it's about Moses and the Israelites, Dad." "Really?" "Yeah, Moses and the Israelites. And it was all about how Pharaoh gave them a lot of trouble until finally, after God really let them have it, he let the people go. And Moses led them out of Egypt into the wilderness. But after they got away, Pharaoh changed his mind. And he sent chariots after them to bring them back." "Yeah, go on," says the father. "Well, right about that time, a very pretty girl comes up to get a bulletin right nearby. And the boy notices that she's listening to the conversation." So he says, "Well, go on, son, tell me what happened next." He said, "Well, you know, the chariots were coming and the Israelites kept walking. But no matter how fast they walked, the chariots were gaining on them, and they were getting closer and closer." And "Yeah, go on. What happened next?" He notices out of the corner of his eye the girl is now standing there listening to the conversation. He says, "Well, Moses radioed for air cover. The Israeli Seabees built a pontoon bridge across the sea, and Moses and the Israelites went across it, got to the other side, and lived happily ever after." Father looks at him and says, "Son, you expect me to believe that your Sabbath school teacher told you that? I mean, you made that up." He says, "I know, Dad, but you wouldn't believe the real story if I told you." Did you ever notice it's so much easier to talk in front of people you know than it is to talk in front of strangers? I mean, I did great with homeboys too. I mean, in 1 Kings 14:25, Jeroboam, he listened to me. He restored the borders of Israel according to the word of the Lord as it came through Jonah the prophet, me. He listened, and I had no trouble talking to him. But when God said to me, "Get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it because its wickedness has come up to here? I got up all right, and I went the other way. I headed for a mining colony on the southern shore of Spain called Tarshish. What makes a man take a 1.5 year one-way journey to the other side of the Mediterranean Sea, to the other end of the world, instead of obey God? Well, maybe you're saying to yourself, he was afraid of the Ninevites. Yeah, it's possible. You know, I mean, Amos said they used to cheat at everything they did, and they were liars, and they weren't very kind to each other. I mean, history records, and I know I was there, but you must have read in your history books that the Ninevite soldiers, after they killed the people they fought, they took off their ears and they made necklaces. And they wore their ears as a necklace. The Ninevite kings, they would chop off the heads of their enemies and prisoners, and they would stack them up like mountains in front of the city to tell everybody, don't mess with me. And frankly, it didn't matter whether you were a foreigner or a homeboy, it didn't matter at all. If you said something another Ninevite didn't like, you know what they would do? They would reach out and rip your lips off. But that wasn't it. No. Maybe it was the size of the city. I mean, Nineveh was 1,800 square acres, 8 miles of wall. Jerusalem, it's biggest. Jerusalem was maybe 200 acres. I mean, it was like a hick town next to Nineveh. Maybe I was afraid to go speak at a big... No, that wasn't it either. If you have your Bible, you got Bibles with you? Why don't you open your Bibles to the book I wrote for you? The book of Jonah? I think I'm losing my hat here. Oh, yeah. There we go. If you look in there, look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, but Jonah arose and ran to Tarshish. Excuse me, that's the other direction, right? Nineveh is to the east. Tarshish is to the west. And did it say I was running away from the Ninevites? Did it say I was running away from Nineveh? No, what was I running away from? I was running away from the presence of the Lord. Think about that for a second. A prophet running away from God? I mean, hey, at least I must have read, I mean, every kid I knew read about David. David tried to run away from God after he killed Uriah and then had adultery with his wife. He was trying to get away from God himself. And he wrote about it in Psalm 139. He says, starting at verse 7, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. David made it pretty clear. There's no getting away from God. But I thought I was going to set a precedent. I was going to leave God in the dust. Why would I think what was I thinking? What was I smoking that day or what? You know, to try to get away from God. I mean, what was that? How did I even think that? Well, let me tell you something. There's this thing that people do. They even do it today. They think that God is God only at the temple, at the church. And then when they leave the building, just like if I walked away from the temple in Jerusalem and I left the city, I was leaving God behind. Because God is only God at church, right? God is only God at the temple. And that it's the further away I get from him, the less influence he has on me, the less he's going to control my life. And so That's what a lot of people think. They think that you only have to act like a Christian when you're at church. But when you leave the church and you get back home and you're behind closed doors, you know what happens? We don't act the same as we do at church, do we? We act very different because we think that God, well, he's God at the church, but he's not the God of my house. And as long as God can't see me, I'm safe. You know, I ran down to the Joppa and I got a ticket. And when I got the ticket, what I wanted to do was I wanted to get away. I was prepared to go as far as the other end of the world to get away from God. So the first thing I did was when I got on the ship, as I went down into the belly of the ship, and I hid in the cargo hold. That's what a lot of people do. We think that as long as we're surrounded by the things of the world, God can't see us. You know that? As long as we're surrounded by the things of the world, God can't see us. And if God can't see us, hey, we could do what we want to do. You know, it's like a dorm room could be the place where you hide. It could be anywhere on campus. I tried hiding in the cargo hold, and I figured God can't touch me here. I was wrong. All of a sudden, the ship started to sway and rock. It was terrible. I could hear lightning and thunder and waves crashing against the ship. So what on earth is that? What's going on here? I should have known. It was God. God doesn't give up so easily. God will chase us as far as he has to make sure that we carry out his instructions, because that's the best thing for us to do. See, God knows better than we do what we should be doing. And so God was chasing me like a bloodhound on the trail of a raccoon. So the ship was rocking, and the sailors up on the deck, I could hear them yelling their heads off, each one calling on his God. I'm in the middle of a storm. Don't you think I should have the brains to call on God to help me? But I can't. I'm too busy running away from him. How can I call on God to help me? The sailors on deck, they know enough to call on God. Even the ship knows enough. It's about to fall apart. The ship has more brains than I do. But me, I'm going to keep on going away from God, and I'm running. Even though I'm laying down there in the bottom of the cargo hold, I'm still running away from God. You know, some people never learned their lesson. So God had to teach me one. What he did was, with this storm, the sailors all panicked. They didn't know what to do except, man, we got to keep the ship from sinking. So what did they do? They came down in the cargo hold and they started to empty out all the cargo. I tell you, that God, he's a smart guy. God is really smart. Because as they emptied the cargo hold, I blew my cover. I got nowhere to hide down there in the cargo hold. All the cargo's gone, and the next thing I know is this captain is tapping me on the shoulder. Hey, sleepyhead, wake up. What are you doing? We're in the middle of a storm here. And what are you doing? You're laying down here like you're on a picnic. Pray to your God. Maybe if your God will spare you, he'll spare the rest of us at the same time. Imagine that. I'm a prophet of the Lord, but a pagan has to tell me that I should be praying for my own safety and for the safety of the other people on the ship. Some prophet, huh? You know, it's a lot like most people. Did you know we're at war? Did you know that? There's a war going on. The enemy has been at it for a long time. And there's a lot of people who think if you just act like there isn't a war, then there isn't one. You know, you make yourself a nice life, you get yourself something really good going, and you don't have to worry about the war. You can pretend there isn't any war. Everybody else is in danger, but not me. The fact of the matter is the storm didn't just threaten the lives of the sailors. My life was threatened too. but I'm laying down there because I think I'm getting away from God. I got nothing to worry about. What about you? We're at war. Do you know that you're in danger as well as other people? When you pray, are you praying for God to deliver you? Have you just taken what God does for you for granted and you're not asking God to help you anymore? It's only for other people. You pray for other people to get saved, but you're not praying about your own self. Hey, everybody's in danger. This is a war where anybody could be a casualty. You, me, and anybody else. Because this is a war between an enemy and God. And the enemy wants us all to die. He wants us all to die. Anyway, the captain makes his point. And when the captain makes his point, I sort of get it, but I don't quite get it. So I come up on deck. When I get up on deck, the sailors are up there shooting dice. But they're not using dice. What they're using is little rocks. Everybody writes their name on a little rock, see. And they put the rocks in a bag, and then they shake the bag, and it's like button, who's got the button, right? And they just drop the rocks on the ground, and the one with the name up on the top, that's the guy. Lucky me, I won the lottery. They throw all the rocks on the floor for everybody on the ship. Guess whose name comes up? Mine! And everybody looks at me and says, who are you? me? And I get up and I tell them all about what I believe. I give them my theology. I get up, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the God who made heaven and earth and the sea. And they look at me like I'm crazy. See, because I already told them that I was running away from God. And they said, so if you believe in God, what are you doing running away here? I mean, you know, when you don't listen to God, you really look dumb. Because I'm trying to run away from God on the sea, but he's the God who made the sea. How in the world am I going to get away from a God that made every drop of water under the ship? Not to mention the water that's falling on the ship. I'm crazy. I'm meshuggah. But no, hey, the sailors, they're patient. They keep asking more questions and all that stuff. It's a real problem that we tend to have. You know, because we think we know the doctrines and things, we think we got our act together. I could quote the doctrines. I can quote them from start to finish. Did I have my act together? Absolutely not. But a lot of people think as long as you know the right stuff, that means you're okay. But it doesn't mean you're okay. Because I could quote them. And to the sailors on the ship, I look like an idiot. And you know what? They're right. I am an idiot. I'm trying to run away from a God who made the sea on the sea. Ain't going to work. When they tell the sailors who I am, now they really think I'm crazy. First of all, I said my God was the creator. In the ancient world, the greatest God is the creator God. It doesn't matter what religion you are. They all believe the creators. You know, what really bothered me at that point is all these guys are crying out for help. And I'm ignoring them. I wonder, when you guys come to class and you do what you're doing here at school, are you aware of the fact that while you're comfy here in the school and stuff, there's people around you that need help? I mean, there's students that are hurting. There are students that have problems and troubles. Forget about outside. Let's just talk about what's going on in here. Do you think because everybody pretends everything's okay, that everything's okay? When you go to church, doesn't everybody pretend everything is okay? And then when they go home, don't they start looking at their problems again? But they all put on a pretty good show at church? You know what? I was putting on a show, and I guess a lot of you do too. I guess a lot of you guys, when you go into class, you know, you just kind of pretend everything is all right. And then, of course, when you're back in your room where God can't see you and nobody else can see you, that's when you can be real. Doesn't sound very good, does it? You want to know the truth? I bet a lot of people know who you really are, and they're not saying it, but it doesn't look really cool to them either. I should have really cared about those guys. You know, I had it right here in my hand. At any time I wanted, I could have saved everybody on the ship. All I had to do was admit that I was wrong and God was right. End of problem, storm stops, we join hands, we sing Kumbaya, and that's it, man, and we're in great shape. But I don't want to tell everybody the truth. You know what I told them? I told them, my God's a bloodthirsty God. Why don't you just throw me over the side of the ship and kill me? And then my God will be happy, and then the storm will stop. Wow. I wonder how many times when we had opportunities to tell the truth about God, we misrepresent Him and we make God look bad. What do you think? Do you think we do that sort of stuff? I think we do. Do you send mixed messages when you're talking to people about God? Do you send mixed messages out? Let me ask you here. I wrote some questions down that I wanted to ask. Let me see here. Uh-huh. Oops. I got such a handwriting, I can't read it either. Doesn't the Bible say God is love? What does that mean? Does that mean God is only loving sometimes? Or God is loving all the time? How often is God loving? What do you think? All the time, right? That means if you belong to God, shouldn't you be loving all the time? Right? Shouldn't we be loving all the time? If that's the case, then how can we be loving like God when we only care about people some of the time, but not all the time? Do you pray for other people? Do you pray for them all the time? Have you figured out that if you prayed for each other, that's really good? Because if you know somebody else is praying for you and you're praying for them, you got both bases covered. Did you know that? I'm not praying for anybody on that ship. You know what I'm doing? All I want to do is get away from God. Because I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I didn't want to do what God wanted me to do. It was a mess. It wasn't good. It wasn't healthy. You know, I was hiding in the bottom of the ship. There was a ship that sank in 1938, when the Stella went down, most of the crew was killed at the time, and there was these 12 women that got onto this rowboat, and they had to get to safety, but they didn't have anybody to help them, and they were scared to death. One of the women turns out to be a lady that nobody saw, because when she got on the ship, she went into her room and she locked the door. She was a very famous opera singer. Her name was Margaret Williams. Margaret had this incredible booming voice. And what she did when they find, you know, when her back is to the wall here on the ship, when there's nothing left, there's nowhere left to hide, and she's out in the open, what does she do? She starts singing to keep all the ladies' spirits up. She was singing one spiritual song after another in that beautiful, polished voice. 10 hours later, at daybreak, there's a ship combing the area for survivors. But there's a terrible fog, and they can't see the ladies in this ship. They're yelling, but their voices don't carry enough. Margaret, after 10 hours, solid singing, sings another song, and the sailors heard her, and they came to rescue them, and their lives were spared. Boy, I wish I'd have done that. When I finally came up on deck, I had all this opportunity to do something good for everybody, but instead I kept playing the game with God. So even though my number was up, even though I was out in the open, I still didn't care enough about other people. I was too busy worrying about myself. You know, Margaret Williams was a hero, because at least when she came out of hiding, she cared enough about everybody else to do something, and I didn't do anything. I was running away from God, and you know, my parents knew what they did when they gave me my name. You know what my name means? You know what Jonah means? It means dove. You know, parents in those days, they didn't just give kids names right away. They waited a year, 2 years maybe, and they watched the kids, and they made sure they gave them a name that fit them. My parents knew what they were doing when they gave me my name. I'm really a timid person. I'm really easy to scare. And when I get scared, I start running the other way, just like a bird would. Like if you threw a rock or something, and the birds, they just scatter, that's me. I just scattered. I was running away. And I didn't care about anybody but myself. The sailors, they cared more about me than I cared about them. I told them, throw me over the side, right? You know what they tried to do? They tried to row me to safety. Now imagine that. I'm the prophet. I'm the one that's supposed to belong to God. I should care about them. What are they doing? They're rowing me to shore. I couldn't believe my eyes. But you know, the problem is that who caused the storm? My God. The big one. The real God. Who were they counting on? They're all crying out to their gods. They're counting on all their gods to be stronger than my God so they can row the ship to shore. You know what they found out? My God was stronger than all of their gods put together. And what a great opportunity. All I had to do at that point was do what? All I had to do was look at them and tell them, you see how powerful my God is? You see how he's caused the storm? Watch this. I repent. Storm stops. They would have said, ooh. But I didn't do that. So you know what they had to do? They had to pick me up and throw me over the side. You know, in the 16th century, people started to wake up. And in the 17th century, they started writing stories about what was going on in the church. One of those guys was a fellow named Boccaccio. Boccaccio wrote 100 stories about what was going on in the church. And he tells a story about a Jewish guy and a Christian. The Christian guy is always saying to the Jewish guy, you should become a Christian because we have the mightier men of God. We have the Holy Spirit, we're moving. And you poor Jewish people are being left behind. Join us. And the Jewish guy's always, yeah, sure, you know. Well, this guy kept it up and he wouldn't stop. So you know what happens? The Jewish guy finally says one day, all right, I'm going to go to Rome and I'm going to go check out what you're saying. I'm going to go check out these guys. I'm going to find out if you're telling the truth. And so off he goes. Well, the Christian guy says, oh, great. Now he's going to go to Rome. You know what he's going to find out? He's going to find out that cardinals and bishops have illegitimate kids, and and they're always playing politics, and they steal money from the church, and oh, he's never gonna become a Christian now. He says, I really did. I pushed too hard. About 3 months later, the Jewish guy comes back to town. He's walking on the other side of the street. The Christian guy on this side of the street is trying to hide from him. Doesn't want to run into this guy. But the Jewish guy spots him, and as he sees him, he yells out, Brother! Brother? Hello. How you doing? He says, oh, man, I just got back from Rome. Really, huh? He said, yep, and I want you to know I got baptized and I joined the church. What? You went to Rome and you joined the church? You mean you went there and you saw what the cardinals do? Yep. And you went there and you saw what the bishops do? Yep. And you saw all that stuff and you still joined the church? Yep. How come? He says, I figured with all that stuff going on, the church was still getting good things done. There really has to be a Holy Spirit, and he gets the job done in spite of you. And that's why I joined the church. You know what? Sometimes God has to work in spite of us. You know, we're too busy doing our thing, and we don't want to do what God wants to do, but God still cares about it. Do you think because we don't care about people, God stops caring? God always cares. So you know what happens? The sailors, when they realize they can't row me to safety, they cry out to God. They say, God, please, don't hold us responsible for this man's innocent blood, because we're going to throw him over the side. I guess that's what you want. And so they picked me up and they threw me over the side. The water was cold. Man, I got such a chill. But I had no idea what was waiting for me just below the surface. But the sailors, you understand what they did? See, I want to die for my beliefs. I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the God who made heaven and earth and the sea. And that's why I want to die. I don't want to die for the sailors. I just wanted to die for my beliefs. You think they were impressed with my theology? What did they say to God? Okay, God, he's convinced us. You're the God that made everything, and we're ready to take all the Bible studies you got for us. That's not what they said, right? What'd they say? They said, hey, you've done exactly what you want. We can tell that you're stronger than our gods. And on top of that, they said, you could hold us responsible for killing this guy. That's what they were concerned about. They're not interested in what I believe. They were interested in my God. You see, that's the whole thing. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to know doctrines or those things. Yeah, they're important. They come later. But that's not what you talk to people about. You talk to them about God. That's who they're interested in. That's why people join churches. They join churches because they see God. And they see he's at work in your church. Sometimes in spite of us. But they see God's at work. And when they see that God is at work, then they know that it's real. Anybody can quote a bunch of verses out of a Bible. Anybody can become a vegetarian and live this a life that other people look at and go, man, that guy's weird. But you can't fake God. You know that? You can't fake God. God is real. If you try to fake God, they're going to catch you. Is God real in your church? Is God real at your school? Are you experiencing God? When you go to other people, do they know you belong to God? Do they know you're a Christian? Do you hide like I hid? And then they have to finally force me to tell them who I am? Do people have to force you to tell them who you are? Let me tell you. This whole thing is about God. It's not about us. I thought it was about me. I thought it was about what I wanted to do. It was all about God from the start. It was all about God at the finish, too. You know what? The sailors believed God in spite of me. They even made sacrifices. They took vows to God. Where did I end up? I end up in the sea, and they get the peace I used to have. It's a crazy story. I had to tell it, though, because you need to know the truth. God loves people, and God is real. If you want people to believe, help them to believe in God. If they fall in love with Him, they'll listen to anything He has to say. They'll believe Him. They'll believe you because they believe you're God. I didn't understand that. I thought it was about me. Do you think it's about you? Is it about you or is it about God? I mean, when you pray, are you praying to God or at God? Do you really have a relationship with God where you and God talk to each other? Or are you like me, a guy that gets up and I can quote all the right words? And I could do all the right things, and then I could betray God too at the same time. You know, if those sailors were counting on me as evidence to believe in God, all those guys, not one of them would have ended up believing in God. You know, it's a lot better when you work with God than when God has to rescue people in spite of you. That was my problem. My problem is I wanted to pick and choose who God would save. I didn't want God to pick the people. I wanted to pick the people. But God picks the people. Aren't you glad God picked you? I wasn't very glad God picked me. I wanted to die. Because I wanted it my way or no way. But God picked me. You know, I guess the best thing I can say, take it from a guy that's been swallowed by a fish, vomited up, had arguments with God. Take my word for it. Don't try to hide from God. If you're having a disagreement with God, work it out. Don't try to hide from God, because while you're trying to hide from God, you don't even realize the trouble you're in, let alone the trouble other people are in because of you. We get reckless. We stop caring about other people. It's better to appreciate God than it is to get stuck on yourself. I was stuck on myself. Please listen. I'm going to pray, and I want you to just bow your heads and let me pray for you. Because what I'm sharing with you tonight is the difference between being a Christian and a hypocrite. So let's bow our heads. Dear God, when I boarded that ship, I thought I knew where I should go and what I should do. I guess I'm like a lot of people who are so convinced that they're right, so convinced not even God can change our minds. You tried to change my mind, Lord. As soon as the storm started, I should have realized that I was headed the wrong way, but I didn't listen. Just like I'm sure there are students here at the school, they may start doing something, and then they see that you're doing something to tell them it's not right. But we're so stubborn, we just keep on going. And the deeper we get, the worse it gets for everybody. Not just for everybody else, but also for ourselves. This is my second chance, Lord. The first time I embarrassed you and I hurt myself and others. Tonight, Lord, I'm hoping that everyone here realizes that we're all Jonahs. Every one of us, during the course of the day, goes the opposite direction from what God wants for us. And when we do, all we have to do is remember there is a God who loves us, a God who cares about us, a God who, instead of hurting us, hurt himself instead. When Jesus got on that cross, he was dying for Jonahs all over the world. Jonahs who aren't even aware of the fact that they are Jonahs. People can look at my story and they can criticize, Lord. But it's much better if people see themselves in my story so that you can turn them around and get them going in the right direction. Please, Lord, put your hand on every heart in this place and touch everyone, not by reminding them of their sins, but by reminding them of how much you care for them. May they realize that in this one day you have poured out so much grace in their life. They could never pay you back for all the good you've done. May that grace be their courage to confess when they're wrong, to love other people even when they feel they don't have to. May that grace be the difference between salvation and just living a so-so life on this planet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving me a second chance. I know that you will give everyone here a second chance if they pray for it. In your wonderful name we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. I'll be back tomorrow, even though I've got a big problem to deal with.